250,000. There is today a community of 6,000 Jews. There is a mikveh. There's a kosher restaurant. There are Orthodox shuls, more than one, Orthodox rabbi, and so on. So Frankfurt has been reborn, but it's a shadow, of course, of what it was. Okay, that's pretty much...
How many Jews are there in Rabbi Hirsch's?
Oh, he grew tremendous. He started from less than 100 in a club. There's no shul, under the club of 100 people. And they had 2,000 Jews by the time he died. 2,000 Jews.
So,
as a breakaway community, it was unofficial. You don't have time now to go into all of Jewish history, but briefly, we have till 10:30, so we'll take a few minutes and talk about a very important aspect of Frankfurt and all of the Jewish communities that we're going to visit. Before modernity, before modern times, Americans don't understand this. All Jewish communities were one kehillah. You lived in Frankfurt, there was one Jewish kehillah in Frankfurt. You davened in one shul. There was no such thing as a shtiebel. You couldn't start your own minyan. All Jews were one united community, and you elected officials in the community, and you paid your taxes to the government through the community. And you had to be a member of that Jewish community. You were buried in the cemetery of the Jewish community. There was no such thing as starting your own shul or separate community or not giving stucco or not paying taxes through the official Jewish community. So when Frankfurt went reform, reform became the official kehillah of Frankfurt, which made it impossible for Orthodox Jews, as you can imagine, which is why a group of 100 Jews broke away from the community. They were members of the community. They paid taxes to the community, aside from taxes to the government. They paid regular fees to the community to support the communal institutions, the shuls. And the money you paid, some part of it went for the Reform Shul. The main shul was the Reform Shul. You were paying the rabbi's salary. This was intolerable, as you might imagine, which is why Hirsch came, and 100 Jews who paid their taxes to the community but didn't want to, certainly wouldn't daven a Reform Shul, brought Hirsch, and it was illegal to form a separate shul. So all they could do was form a club. That's why it was called the IRG, as I told you. It was a club. They davened in the club, or in the clubhouse they used to daven. That's how it worked. But Hirsch said it was usher to pay money to the community. His own Balabatim didn't believe him. He didn't listen to him. His own Balabatim paid regularly because that was the minhag. It was a kehillah. Everybody remembered their father paid the taxes to the kehillah. The grandfather paid taxes to the kehillah. Nobody really wanted to break away from the kehillah. They understood that they couldn't daven in the main shul of the kehillah. So they had a separatist community. But Hirsch, his whole life, fought to have a totally separatist community. To have a kehillah where they pay taxes only to their own kehillah and not to support the reform institutions. And in 1876, Hirsch was born in 1808. In 1876, Hirsch was able to get the Prussian government, the German government at the time, to pass a law that allowed Jews who on consciousness believed that they could not pay money to a reform kehillah to form a separate Jewish kehillah, legally. Finally won that battle in 1876. He was a pretty old man. And then he got up in front of his kehillah, the 2,000 Jews who came to daven in his new shul, and he issued a ban from the Yomud. He got up in front of everybody and he said, from now on, now that the law is passed, that we're allowed to have legally a separatist community, no one is allowed to pay money to the old kehillah, and from now on we're a separate community, our own kehillah. We pay taxes to the government through our kehillah, and we don't support any of the institutions of the kehillah. Only a handful of Jews in his own community listened to Hirsch. They preferred to pay taxes to Hirsch's shul. They had to pay the annual fee to Hirsch, and they paid money to the kehillah too. They wouldn't break away from the kehillah. Because, by the way, if you broke away from the kehillah, you weren't buried in the cemetery of the kehillah. Ooh, your father's in the cemetery, your mother's in the cemetery, your grandparents, all Dore Doros are in the old cemetery, and you're going to be buried in a different cemetery. Nobody wanted that. And nobody had the courage. So anyway, if you really want to know the numbers, approximately one-third of Hirsch's kehillah after 1876 agreed with Hirsch and refused to pay money anymore to the kehillah, the original kehillah. Two-thirds refused, and they paid double fees. They were prepared, and they did it. They had to pay double the money. They paid money to Hirsch, and they paid money to the old kehillah as well. So that was the Auschwitz Gemeinde, the separatist institution was Hirsch's institution.